This episode is sponsored by Hulu. The reality queen herself, Lisa Vanderpump, has a new home on Hulu and has teamed up with them to bring you the newest, most exciting reality series yet, Vanderpump Villa. In an escape to the French countryside, Lisa and her staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. The series offers first-class luxury with world-class drama. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, presented by Betches Media. This is an exploration of all pop culture. From the classic reality TV moments of the past and present, to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. We're looking at you, Tom Sandoval.
Folks, welcome to an all-new episode of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is your pal, Ryan, and I don't even know if this is going to get released. But if it does get released, this will be what I'm told is your Wednesday episode. I guess it's Tuesday right now. I am completely lost on my days. Listen, I'm doing this is trying to just see if I can even do it and warm myself up because I got interviews tomorrow. I've had to cancel so many things over the last couple of days. If you're joining the show for the first time, you're probably completely lost. But if you've been here, you know that I've been sick. Monday's pop culture roundup with Sophie. It was a lot of fun. I don't remember what we talked about. I don't remember most of that. And I thought I was over like the bad part of it. But then Monday got so much worse. Today, this morning was bad, but now I feel a little more like myself. But listen, this one, it's just going to be me and you. There's a lot of like little, I don't even have a real strong outline for this. So if you need to dip out as Tom Sandoval would, go for it. But I just want to talk. There's some things I was finally opening up like the Daily Mail, my favorite news source. And I was like, oh my God, I want to talk about this. And ooh, Ariana and Tom responded to Rachel Levis's lawsuit. I want to talk about that. There are so many things I want to talk about. And I kind of just, when I see little pop culture stories, I just feel like they stack up. And then they kind of gnaw at my brain. And I'm like, ah, I have a forum to actually talk about this. And I haven't really talked in, gosh, I guess since the Sophie thing, like I've been really quiet. Because I've been trying not to use my voice as much as possible, but I don't want to cancel the next couple days of interviews. I think I'm over the worst part of it. So it was sinusitis, and I guess I'll have this sinus infection. It'll last for like a month, but I think the bad part of it lasts, they said, like 6 to 7 days. I'm on antibiotics. I've taken my Flonase. I've got a stare. I'm on so many different things. I'm very loopy. I was still feverish last night. There's so many gross things that I'm not going to fill you in on. But the other bad thing too, and kids, if you're listening, this is important. I picked up a nasty vape habit over the last couple of years. And so I think also on top of that, kicking vaping over the last, I guess it's been like, when did I, like 6 days or whenever I started feeling sick, I stopped. And I think that's added to all of this too. So I can't tell, like, I know the sinus headache is from the sinus infection, but it's also from like detoxing from vaping, which is just so sad in so many ways. So kids, don't vape, don't smoke, don't do any of that crap unless you want to be cool like me. Yeah, no, it's real cool until you wind up on your birthday completely incapacitated and then have to go to urgent care at some point because you can't break your fever. God, this has been so sad. I'm in the most gorgeous city of the world, New York City, and I've only been out one day. I was out on my birthday, and I knew I was sick. But, you know, like I said on Monday's episode, I just needed to get through the day. And you're riding that birthday high where you're just like getting messages from people and you're just like, oh, you know, and you're just trying to get through that. And then, yeah, it was over after that day, but at least I had that one day. But it's sad because Bill Bailey had to go back home to Arizona. He still had a great time, and he was, you know, he went exploring by himself. He hung out with Rebecca. He did great, and we got to talk here and there. I'm, of course, extremely bummed and saddened, but I was thinking about this. I was thinking, life is like a box of chocolate. No, I was thinking that, you know, and especially as you get older, is life is never exactly what you picture it, you know, like what you want it to be or what you picture it to be. You kind of got to just ride all these kind of waves and see where it takes you. And I'm not trying to get deep or anything, but I thought, you know, we've talked about that concept the last year. I mean, you could really say the last 2 years have been so shitty in so many ways. For me, maybe for you listening, which by the way, I didn't even get to ask, how are you guys good? I'm so sorry I wasn't able to release a show yesterday. It is funny when you hear from people and you're like, is there another podcast you recommend? Because yours isn't up. And I was like, you can't wait a day? No, but I was trying to think about this because, you know, it's very easy for me to fall into these kind of patterns of like, oh, woe is me, blah, blah, blah. And like at the end of the day, I'm completely blessed no matter how you cut it, no matter how you cut it. I think it just gets sad because I get so excited about things. And I wanted my dad to have such a good time. And I think, you know, especially with mom being gone and all that, I wanted so much more for this trip. And it was still, you know, he still did have a great time. Like, I will say this. This is the coolest thing. I wanted to mention this too. And like I said, this is a very loose show today because the other ones are so tight. It's so funny. Like, Los Angeles and New York and, like, kind of big metropolitan cities, they get really shit on, you know? And I think the news portrays them in a certain way of very dangerous. Oh, my God. And there's a lot of people in my dad's ears, certain family members and all, you know, to be like, you're going to New York? Well, you better take a gun. You get ready to get mugged 80 times. You know, like really putting this, and it's like, I've been here so many times and I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? Or even the same with Los Angeles. And you're like, yeah, we have a homeless problem. We have the, you know, a lot of cities do. Like there's a lot of, but there's so much beauty and amazing things as well. And access to this beautiful art and a beautiful city. And like every place has its advantages and disadvantages. But it was so exciting for me, even through my fevered haze, to have dad come back from going out walking and exploring. Cause he was walking like, you know, 5+ miles a day in New York. And he would just say, it's just beautiful out there. It's just amazing. And then he goes, everybody's so friendly. Everybody's so friendly. And you would say how it really energized him, you know, because he's so used to like being in Arizona and in, you know, Gilbert, which is a great town, but it's not like people are out there on the streets. You know, he sees his friends here and there, but he's out there walking and like, you know, talking to people. And I just thought that was so great. And I was like, that's so great, Dad. Now you can go back and you can tell your family, your friends that New York's a really nice place. And of course, that doesn't mean that there is not danger here. That doesn't mean that there's like insane issues here. Of course. But that overall, what a great city. What a great town. I the day I was out there, even when I was sick on my birthday, it's like you walk around and there's just so much energy. And like I said, like that's why I like music festivals is because I'm not a big people person. But when you're forced to be around a bunch of people, it gets exciting. And I love people watching and you pick up so much energy. And New York is just kind of like that. It's just really nice. You know, everybody's out there walking. Like the weather's really nice right now. I don't know. So I thought that was really cute to hear my dad say that, you know, and he, you could tell how excited he was about it. Like he hasn't been here in a long, long time. And I just thought, you know, people have to remember that. It's like all the shit that we read, all the shit that we watch, even us, even when we talk about reality shows, even me, it's like, you know, there's a difference between living something and then watching it through a lens or watching it through somebody else's lens. And that's why I always say, take everything, including me, with a grain of salt. Go out and do your own research. Don't just go and like, just, oh yeah. Like we just buy into anything anymore. I was the other thing I was scrolling around on Hellscape. Twitter. And it just reminded me, it's like this Sunday, we start a new season of Real Housewives of New Jersey. And I've said this so many times on this show. Hands down, it is the most toxic online fan base of any fan base I've ever encountered. And it's so sad because that show has elements of being a really good show, especially those early seasons. I mean, it still gets great ratings, all of that stuff, but the fandom makes you want to stay. It makes me not want to talk about that show because it's exhausting. It's exhausting to talk about that show Nobody asked you to take up sides. Well, I mean, at this point, probably people are going door to door asking you to take up sides. I don't have a horse in the race. Teresa, Melissa, I like both. I've met Melissa. I think she's great, lovely. Met Teresa, great, lovely. You know, what? We're not meant to watch these shows to literally sign up to join an army. I mean, like, we've taken that sometimes too far. And I've taken it too far, of course, with Vanderpump Rules, which I get so passionate about. But Jersey takes it to another level where it's scary. There's online shit going on right now, which I'm not going to get into because I really find it very sad. Like, all joking aside, I find it really sad with, like, cast members interacting with online Twitter accounts and trying to push narratives out there. And I just, like, it's got to stop. Your lives are fascinating enough. You don't need to sway people towards. Let the cards and the chips fall where they may. Let the audience just take your real human behavior and we'll decide how we feel about it. How about that? It is so frustrating to watch the bullshit. Like, it's like, do you guys even watch the show? You're basically going into any season going, I hate this person and it'll never change. I hate this person and it'll never change. Even when I went into the season of Vanderpump Rules, I told you guys, I said, listen, who knows? I don't think I can forgive Tom Sandoval, but who knows? Who knows? And then immediately when that Nick Vile interview came out, I was like, oh, okay, he's not changed at all. I know now, I already know how I feel because it's already, spoiler alert, the season's already filmed. He did that interview after the season filmed, so we know where he's at now. So it's like, oh, okay, I can continue to dislike him in a lot of ways. But I feel like the Jersey fandom has already decided who they will never like. They're like, either I fucking hate Melissa forever until the end of days, or I fucking hate Teresa until the fucking end of days. I hate Margaret. I hate that. It's like, guys, what enjoyment out of this show is there at all anymore? Like, it totally takes away from the show. How disappointing that the online community is louder than the actual show. I was trying to remember even storylines from last season, and all I can remember is, like, storylines that, like, happened online where I was, like, mortified by somebody posting something where I, like, muted that person. Or, like, I try not to block people. I had to block somebody yesterday on Twitter. I usually don't. I try not to block people, but I was sick and feverish. And then I noticed it was, like, the same person that always, like, bitches at me about something. And they always listen to the show. So, hello, I know you're listening. And the thing is, I think with a block, it probably makes them feel good because you're like, oh, I got to that person. But at the same time, I just want to say, I'm sorry. I normally wouldn't have blocked you. It's just, I was feverish and I noticed you just keep posting negative things. And so I just don't want that. But I hope you're good. I hope you're good. I usually don't do that. It was just a bad day. I wasn't feeling well. And I just didn't want to hear your voice anymore, if that makes sense. But that's like a lot with, and this has nothing to do with Jersey, actually, but including like the Jersey fandom, there's just a lot of that where I'm like, the show isn't even out yet. And I'm exhausted by the season already. Like, it's already started up. And that's why I recommend for any of you guys listening that aren't on social media, don't start. Don't. It's not like, don't. Like, they always talk about kids of like, you know, kids shouldn't be on social media until they're 16. And I'm like, could you reinstitute that and say anybody over the age of 35 shouldn't be on social media? Like, I would love to legally be told that I cannot be on social media. It'd be a blessing at this point because it's really highly addictive. It's like vaping. It's digital vaping, you guys. Well, am I making any sense? I feel like I'm a wizard again. I'm on a unicorn. An angry old man shouting about Real Housewives of New Jersey. But you guys know what I'm talking about, I think. I just think it's so sad because these people take the time to make this show. Let us find out what the storylines they're trying to show us are before we already predetermine exactly who, how, when, why, where we hate somebody. Like, let the show tell us. Like, that's what I always said, even with last season of Beverly Hills. It's like, well, what are the producers trying to, like, what story are they trying to tell us? What story are they trying to tell us with Kyle Richards, right? What is that story? It's like, we're going to all have our opinions. We all think this thing with Morgan Wade, but what is the show? What is the show's opinion? What are they? Because that's it. They are trying to tell us something. It's just that I feel like we're so noisy sometimes that it completely overshadows the actual shows. And I want to try to get away from that a little bit more because I want these shows to keep going. And that's all I got to say about that. Forrest Gump voice. Can you believe Forrest Gump is like, that movie's like 28, 30, is it almost like 30 years old? Gee, my God. Anywho, enough about Jersey. All that to say also is that I'll probably be covering it this year. But I swear, the first sign of trouble, I'm out, man. I'll hide it behind Patreon. What up, baddies? Sorry to my Patreon listeners. I was hoping to do an episode with my dad. That obviously didn't happen, but I always find a way to make it up to you, and I will. I'm just trying to be as smart as I can and rest as much. In fact, I just took a 15-minute break. I have a cough drop in my mouth, and I flonased it up. So let's continue on for a little bit more, because there's so many things that I want to talk about. Also, good news, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, we just talked about Kyle Richards signs with CAA. CAA is Creative Artist Agency. It is one of, if not the top agency in kind of the world. They handle acting, music, sports, the whole thing. We've all had embarrassing BO moments. I'm sure everyone has at least one memory from when they were a sweaty, hormonal teenager forgetting to put on deodorant in the morning, and the horror of finding out the hard way. Fortunately, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making it so none of us ever have to worry about BO again. And our listeners can now receive a special offer. New customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code SOBAD at LumiDeodorant.com. LumiDeodorant.com. It makes you smell clean. It goes on easily and it keeps you smelling fresh for so much longer than any other deodorant. The biggest difference, Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. It's baking soda free and paraben free and pH balanced for safe use below the belt. Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. Lumi starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like, you know, mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for our listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code SOBAD for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code SOBAD at LumiDeodorant.com. Folks, summer is just around the corner, so it's time to say goodbye to those jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. Now, I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, and luckily, I found Quince. Now, I have a lineup of timeless pieces I want that will keep me looking fresh year after year. I got a pair of tan shorts, I got a pair of green shorts. I cannot wait to style these for summer, and I gotta tell you, the quality is great, because Quince has all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman by partnering directly with top factories and passes that savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. So upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/sobad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sobad to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sobad. This is the press release. Richards has been acting since childhood, earning a wide range of credits, including roles in Little House on the Prairie, The Car, The Watcher in the Woods, ER, The Housewives of the North Pole, Beautiful Wedding, Halloween, and Halloween Kills. She reprised her role as Lindsay Wallace in Halloween Ends, the final film of the franchise, alongside Jamie Lee. The final film of the franchise. Bullshit. That's going to keep going forever. Then it talks about joining Real Housewives of Beverly Hills in 2010. So she is signed to them, and it'll be interesting to see what CAA does. Like, are they going to get her more acting roles? Is she, like, I told you years ago that I thought she was going to use this and she was going to wind up on some sitcom. She was going to wind up just, like, acting and eventually leaving Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And I still think in a couple years that will be true. I think she will phase out completely. Now, another interesting thing, talking about Stagecoach, that musical festival I talked about on Monday, the country music festival that Beyonce never showed up at, Kyle was there with family, and Mauricio was there, And there was a cute photo of them with their family from behind. And somebody else said, I don't know if this is true or not, that Morgan Wade, ooh, that hurt my voice to do. Morgan Wade, that allegedly they might not be talking right now. I don't know if that's true. Who knows? I mean, what if it's that thing? It got too close. It was like a May, December kind of thing. And then Kyle in the end chooses her family, or maybe chooses fame is a better way to put it. Who knows? Or maybe, I don't know. The imagination goes wild, right? Because we've watched too many of these soap opera TV shows where we're like, oh my God, what if Kyle and Mauricio stay together? But it's like an arranged marriage. And they're like, they can date other people. And it's ridiculous. Who knows? We'll see. But they were together. But like she said, they'll always be family no matter what happens to their romantic relationship. But you know Kyle, she loves a good old country. Kyle now went to Coachella this year. Remember, she was at Coachella a couple weeks ago with her niece Paris Hilton and Kesha, of course, as you do. You know, you got to always hang out with Kesha. And then she's at Stagecoach. It is like a full-time job being a celebrity. Like going to one of those music festivals is already exhausting, let me tell you. And then she's doing it. And I'm sure it's different when you're rich and you're taken care of and you're not walking 80 miles to your car at the end of the night. But it is still, man, it's like, don't you sometimes just want to stay home? Don't you? I mean, like, my God, the amount of energy that it goes into keeping up your fame and celebrity, it truly seems like, is it worth it? But that's the thing. Like, you know, that's why Kim Kardashian is an interesting person to study. Because here's somebody that really dreamed of this all their lives. And everybody that you talk to that works with Kim Kardashian says how great and nice she is. Even if you bump into Kim, extremely nice. Because really, I think she reminds herself all the time that this is her dream. Kim Kardashian, they're going to have a new season of The Kardashians in May. So the press, you're going to start hearing their names bandied about in the press a little bit more. You probably already are. And of course, the Met Gala is coming up this Monday. Kim also just released new photos where she cut her hair and it is pink. I love these photo shoots with Kim Kardashian, though, because in my fevered state, I just thinking like, is she about to drop an album? And that's the crux of the Kardashians, right? Is that it must kill Kim sometimes that she doesn't have an album to drop, that she's not a singer. Because, you know, you notice any pop stars, your Dua Lipas, your Taylors, your Beyoncés, they get to have eras. They get to have eras, but they have eras because there's an artistic product at the end of it that they're selling. Dua Lipa has her new album coming out pretty soon. So you're going to start seeing her all over the press. Kim does these things, but it's just to sell Kim. And I think sometimes you've sensed that vibe with Kim, that secret insecurity of being insecure about not having that talent. And that's why I think he is trying to get into acting. American Horror Story just ended its season. From what I heard, I watched the first couple episodes, didn't enjoy it. From what I was reading review wise and I was watching TikToks, did not end strong for a lot of people. And I watched Kim's final monologue. And I don't want to spoil anything for it, but she's a bad guy. And to me, just coming from an acting background and, you know, I used to work with actors and coach actors, is that she was good, right? And I told you this, or maybe it was on the Patreon when I covered the Kardashians, was I said, she will be coached within an inch of her life on that, and they will not make her look bad. Like, that's part of the deal, is she'll agree to do this, but make me look good. So, yeah, like she probably to like somebody that's like, yeah, like acceptable. It's good. It's Kim. It's exciting. But for me watching her monologue, I just saw all the choices. I saw all the like, okay, this is the thought right here. I thought it was just really obvious. You know, it's like, you could just tell it's hard to explain. Like there are certain actors where you're just like, whoa, it is so natural that you're not even seeing the moves. It's just a person being, it's just a person living. Where you're like, holy shit, this is like, it's just so real. It's so real that it fully envelops you and you just get swept away. You forget the actor is an actor and you get really swept away in that. With Kim, at this point, you always know it's Kim. You're like, ah, there's Kim Kardashian. She's playing a witch. Yeah, that's cool. Good for her, you know, but it's always Kim Kardashian. The thing with though, Kim is so successful and so powerful that she will get so many opportunities. Like, she already has signed up to a Netflix film that she's producing, a comedy. She's already signed up for another TV show that she's producing after that with Emma Roberts as the star, who was her co-star in American Horror Story. But what I, you know, is interesting is she's going to keep getting these opportunities. So the interesting thing is, and I predict she will get better. She will get better. So it's weird that most people don't get the opportunity and they don't get to like start at a very basic level on such a big show like Kim did. So I'm not giving her props for that because it's a two-way street. You know, American Horror Story got some attention for casting Kim. Kim got her like little foot in the door in terms of an acting role and got her another project and another project. But it'll be interesting to see if she can eventually get to that point where we forget that it's Kim, where we're like, holy shit, she really is getting good. And it's sad, though, because there's so many actors there that work out there that work their entire lives that you will never hear about. You will never see that could blow your ass away, that could knock you off your coal mining asses. You know, I've worked with them, I've seen them. And it's, you know, it's weird. But isn't that about pop culture? And that's why Kim, even if you hate the Kardashians, you got to respect them because there's a resilience there. There's a toughness. There's an inability to there's an ability to take the massive amount of shitting on that they get by the public, deservedly so, and continue on. And the biggest thing that'll get people to shut up is just success, is just to keep going, is just good work. There are people that I even dislike that I'm like, I can't argue with that. That's really good. I can't argue. Even if I don't like them, that's really good. And that's the only thing that'll shut people up. And I think even with that insecurity, there is this inward belief of this is what I want. I'm going to work harder than everybody else to get it. And you could say, yes, there's nepotism involved. There's all this money involved. I do not believe that Kendall Jenner is out there playing, you know, in the tequila farms. You know, like, I don't believe Kylie Jenner ever put together her makeup palettes in the lab. I don't believe any of that shit. Obviously not. But they got to where they are for a reason. And I was watching that OJ Simpson documentary while I was sick last week. And Chris pops up and Robert Kardashian, Kim's dad. And it's just so very interesting. That family is such a part of Hollywood lore. And it's just interesting to see where they're at now. It's going to be interesting to see where they go. And it's also going to be interesting to see how they age. And you're already seeing that in bits and pieces now. How hard they fight. And when they make one wrong move on their face. I mean, Khloe gets lambasted all the time. I mean, Khloe's changed completely different looks. Khloe finally looks like a Kardashian. And Khloe's kind of like my favorite, but Khloe finally looks like she is a Kardashian. But it took a long time. But it's going to be interesting to see which one does make, like, you know, and did you ever think Courtney is the only one now that is almost, and I know she's not natural, but she seems to be aging naturally compared to the rest of them. You know, shout out Travis Barker, I guess. But we'll see where the new season of The Kardashians goes and if we really care. I mean, if anything, it's just a commercial for all their other venues and it's just that thing to keep their name out there. But in some ways, it's been a nice respite away from them. It's been the longest in-between seasons of a Kardashian show that we've had in a very long time. And it also kind of shows you why that show needs to kind of be on its heels at all time. You can't have these breaks because I think you have these breaks and you realize like, oh, we don't really need them. We don't need, like, I yearn for a Beyonce album. I yearn for a Taylor Swift album. I yearn for a Batman movie. I yearn for Vanderpump Rules. I yearn for The Valley. I yearn for Summer House Martha's Vineyard, which, oh God, you guys, I finally got to catch up on the last couple of episodes this morning. And I like it. Like, I really do. And it's one of those shows, like, the cast is so great with each other that when something truly pops off with that cast, if the show continues on, it's going to be great because they have such real relationships with each other. So they've got this nice foundation. But even them just being silly with each other with food and dressing up in pure summer house fashion, doing theme nights, I just enjoy it for some reason. So, well, that's my talk about the Kardashians, you guys. Anyways, that all started because of Kyle Richards. Oh my God, I'm looking at myself in the recording, and my eyes are so like dark and like drawn in. Ooh, good stuff. If you're watching on YouTube, hey, hot stuff. So I was talking about Kyle Richards, but I also wanted to talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, because the Daily Mail has had a series of articles about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills this week, where it's like producers have put their foot down and said Dorit will have to go, or she will be a friend of, if she does not admit that PK does no longer lives at the house and is now living at Buca di Beppo. No, is now living at a hotel. So this was put out in the press. Kyle Richards, an article was put out in the press saying that Beverly Hills producers put their foot down and said she will not be on the show if she does not share her real relationship with Morgan Wade. So all of these rumors are being put out into the Daily Mail. Now, sources, the production sources say this is all not true and that Dorit is back, even though I thought it really did seem like there, it really did seem. And it's still like there is a chance I think Dorit might be gone. There's a chance. But I think there's an element to the story that could be true, in the sense that Dorit could stay if she actually would share more about the relationship issues. Because then all of a sudden, all the years with Dorit would pay off. If you could really get into what's going on in that relationship, which it seems like there is a lot. But that's the thing about these shows, is that these cast members are on them so long, they think they really know their way around it, just like Tom Sandoval thought he did with Vanderpump Rules, where half of their energy goes into hiding their actual life. And it's like, that's no fun. Don't Kyle Richards us. Like, you know, Kyle gets by on a lot of charm and the fact that she is OG, and she's shared a lot. But if you watch Buying Beverly Hills with Mauricio, I'm sorry. I know more about those daughters from Buying Beverly Hills than I ever did in 13 seasons of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So Dorit, it always seems like she'll share a little. She'll share about the robberies, but she won't like, and then she gets super offended when she's questioned about them. And it makes it a very rigid way to film with her, I would imagine. It's like you can only go so many places. So I think if Dorit is willing to talk about these issues, then it's a no-brainer to keep her around. But if not, no, it's window dressing. And I just always, I always say that my loyalty is always to the show. Nobody is bigger than the show. And the first person that really upset that, or the first person that really bothered me that I used to love, that thought that way, that they were bigger than the show, was Bethany Frankel. And that's when I was like, ooh, this isn't a great look on you. You know, nobody is bigger than the show. The show will survive no matter who's on, no matter like, or that's what I want to believe. Like you can't be like, this is my show. And you gotta be careful, because I feel truly, and I think this is the right way to feel, is that there are so many amazing women's stories, amazing women that we have not met yet. You're telling me in Beverly Hills, and by the way, not even Beverly Hills, all of California, because they don't even have to live in Beverly Hills anymore. You're telling me there's not 1,000? And that's on the low end, amazing women that would probably blow your fucking minds. It just would take the due diligence. You'd have to really do some heavy casting. You have to put the work in to find those people. And that's like, sometimes you just wanted to really put the work, say, hey, we're going to take a year off. We're going to reimagine this. We're going to really find a real new friend group with stories that are going to blow your mind. But I think in every city, think about it. I hear some of your stories. You guys will tell me. And I'm like, man, that's what I'm saying. Like, people don't believe reality shows. It's like, just look at your own lives. They're so fascinating sometimes. Even the stuff that you don't find interesting, when you get into the minutia of it.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
When I was out there for my grandma's funeral in Columbus a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to my my aunt and my cousin, and we were talking family stories. There were so many things about my dad's family that I'd never heard about before. And stuff about my dad growing up where I was like, holy shit. We were talking about my uncle, who was like a star high school football player. And my dad was like, he was paid. He was paid to not work. He was paid just to be a high school football player. You know, and my dad's family, dirt poor. And my uncle had a job at a pizza place, but it was like a fake job, like Sopranos, like, you know, like a union job. Like it was like, yeah, he had a job, like his job was at the pizza place, but he got paid whether he showed up or not because he was like a star quarter. Like they took care of him. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. And hearing about my grandma, you know, because my dad lost his dad when he was like 10 or 11 years old. And we were talking about this over this past week. My dad's talked about this on the podcast before, actually, or maybe the Patreon. But, you know, my dad's dad was abusive. He was physically abusive and a very violent man. And, you know, passed away, like I said, when my dad was 10. And my dad said, I just feel... Sometimes you feel horrible about it, but it's like when my dad died, it was the greatest day of my life. He said, he's like, are you kidding me? We hated this man. We lived in fear of him. We got pulled out of school. We got free food. People were taking care of us. He was like, it was the best day. Are you kidding me? We didn't have to be scared of this man anymore. And I just thought, what a powerful story, you know? And then my grandma, she went out and, you know, had to get a job. And my, you know, the kids were, you know, it was a family of four kids. And they had to pretty much fend for themselves in this tiny shack of a house in Columbus. And, but I just thought everybody has a story, as Danny Pellegrino says, as Kathy Lee Gifford says. Anyways, sorry, you guys. Like I said, this was just going to be a rambling one anyways. But Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I'll be curious what happens. I am bummed about Crystal leaving. I thought they invested three seasons in her. Why not do another fourth? I thought, you know, by the end when she had found her voice, I always thought she was a reliable narrator. So I was always great with her. And she was just so damn nice. I love Crystal. And at the same time, though... It's one of those things that you hate to admit that it's like better off for her and her family, because I think the reality of those situations are those shows, they speed up issues in your relationships. They don't slow them down. You know, it like speeds up you know, if you're already having like light trouble in your marriage, I think being on a reality show is going to speed that up, and it's going to give you like, you know, all of a sudden, like 1 year is going to become 10 years. And then by the third season you're on, you're close to a divorce. I just think it speeds up all of those things. But I think Crystal was really enjoying it too by the end. And I was bummed about that because I was just like, oh man, Dorit had such a shit season. You do start to look at it like, and it does remind me of when my friends will talk about sports, and not even my male friends. Like, I have more female friends that are like, we'll like talk about sports where I'll just get just as bored with them talking about it as my male friends. But it, sometimes you do look at it in terms of seasons, like, oh, shitty season. And it is funny with Erica Jane. I'm like, hey, man, did the producers talk to Erica Jane and say that she can't come back unless she admits she's a horrible singer? No, like, I am curious, like, where does Erica Jane go from here? Like, the Vegas thing, you know, I watched that Bet It All on Blonde. It was kind of a bust. It didn't, like, sell out. It didn't, you know, like, so what is the lie she's going to tell herself? Or is she going to be completely honest and say, yeah, it didn't like light the world on fire, but we're moving from here. We're going from here. Like, what is her storyline going to be? I'm so curious where they go with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Okay. So I wanted to mention that. Now let's talk about Rachel Levis, the artist formerly known as Raquel. I'm not going to go into this as deep as I wanted to with like sound clips and stuff, but maybe I'll do that for a Patreon this weekend when I'm fully feeling better and I can organize the sound clips because I was listening to them. It's what I said though, a couple weeks ago, where I feel like she's turned a corner and it's not been a great corner, where I feel like, and this is just my feelings, I want to always point that out. I feel like it's gotten to a point where I'm like, you're just showing more and more why you should have been stayed on this reality show, that you already are infected by this disease of wanting to be seen, wanting to be heard, and you're getting less money from it than you would on the TV show. But where I feel like she has made a fatal mistake is in her lawsuit against Tom Sandoval and Ariana Maddox. Now, I don't believe she made a mistake in suing Tom Sandoval, but that's between them. But to throw Ariana Maddox in it, I think that is a fatal mistake. And I think, one, because she wants it to go to a trial. And if you get a jury and then you are the other woman, the mistress, and then you're still suing somebody, because Ariana, now she released her the affidavit where her lawyer, you know, responded back with what, you know, Rachel is alleging in her lawsuit. Ariana responded back to that. Tom responded back to that as well. And Tom said, we're kind of like, the wording is very interesting, but it kind of says something like, Rachel is the one that they shared these sex videos with each other, the video of Rachel fiddling with herself, and that they shared this with each other. That like almost like she knows he had this, but I think that's complete bullshit. I truly do believe Rachel in the fact that I think he screen recorded this private spank bank session over at Schwartz's dojo. Or probably Joe was in the other room going beep, boop, bop, beep, boop, boop, boop. But anyway, Sandoval saying like, well, this is ridiculous because she willingly did this, gave this to me, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to read you Ariana's, you know, response back, and then let's talk about this together. Okay, we got some breaking Vanderpump Rules news, which I'll read in a second. But let's get into this declaration of Ariana Maddox. So it talks about the evening of March 1st, went to a club, Tom, to see Mr. Sandoval play. Phone, you know, the whole story that we know, the phone fell out of the pocket. Because we had been in a committed relationship for so long and because we trusted one another and presumably did not keep secrets from one another, I knew many of Mr. Sandoval's passcodes, including the one for his phone. What if his passcode was 6969? I had previously accessed Mr. Sandoval's phone on other occasions with his knowledge and consent. For reasons I still do not know, call it woman's intuition. When the set ended, I felt the need to check Mr. Sandoval's phone and went to the women's room for privacy. In a locked stall, I accessed Mr. Sandoval's phone. Imagine if you were in the stall next to Ariana that night and you're like, can you spare a square? Can you shoot me over some TP? We're completely empty in this stall. And she's like out there, like all of a sudden you hear like a video of Rachel fiddling with herself. She's in the stall, in a locked stall. She accessed Mr. Sandoval's phone, saw text conversations between Mr. Sandoval and the plaintiff that appeared incomplete because portions of them had been deleted, which made me suspicious, she says. While other women waited to use the toilet, I opened the photo app on Mr. Sandoval's phone and was shocked to find a video of a FaceTime call between Mr. Sandoval and plaintiff that showed Mr. Sandoval's face in the upper corner while the main image of plaintiff masturbating. Can you imagine the Tom Sandoval face? We're like, dude, yeah, dude, that's hot, dude. This is a family show, so please don't let the kids listen to this part. You could see Tom's in the upper corner while the main image was the plaintiff. I hurriedly took out my own phone and made two recordings of the FaceTime video. Prior to that moment, I considered plaintiff a friend and did not know that she and Mr. Sandoval were having an affair. I left the bathroom and walked up to Mr. Sandoval, who asked if I wanted to go into the alley. I confronted Mr. Sandoval about the affair with plaintiff. Concerned that people might overhear us, Mr. Sandoval tried to move me away from the club. Classic Tom Sandoval, and also classic because he's thinking about public persona, right? He's thinking about his image. Around the same time, she says, I sent the videos I recorded to plaintiff along with a text message reading, "You're dead to me." And she includes copies of these text messages. I did not send the video to anyone else, nor did I share, display, or show the videos to anyone else. To be clear, I only saw the video of plaintiff masturbating in places secluded from others, i.e. alone in the bathroom stall and in the alley with Mr. Sandoval. A heated argument ensued between me and Mr. Sandoval, and he forcibly grabbed my phone from my hands, causing my credit cards and driver's license to fall to the pavement. I quickly grabbed my cards off the pavement and chased after Mr. Sandoval, who had further distanced himself from the club. By the time I caught up to him, Mr. Sandoval had deleted from my phone the videos I had recorded of the FaceTime video. Mr. Sandoval also deleted the videos from the recently deleted folders on my phone. So this guy seems like he knew what he was doing. Minutes later, I texted one of my friends, Logan Cochran, about what had happened, stating I called her plaintiff after finding out and texting her the videos of herself from Tom's phone that I took. Tom took my phone and deleted them, chased him all the way down San Vicente, which is a road near TomTom. True and correct copies of screenshots are in this filing. After learning about the affair, I began informing my family and other close friends about plaintiff's affair with Mr. Sandoval, including how I learned about it by discovering the text and the FaceTime video on Mr. Sandoval's phone. I declare under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of California that the foregoing is true and correct. And she includes those text messages. She includes the text messages, including one with Raquel. And, this is like from like the earlier, like a week before, saying, "We're going to watch the Watch What Happens Live episode now." And Rachel responds, "Oh, nice. I'm trying to find the whole episode on YouTube right now, but I don't think it's out yet." And then Ariana says, "Same. It's not on Peacock. If you have Spectrum, it'll be on at 3. And then Rachel says, 40 more minutes. And then Saturday, February 25th, Rachel says, "Yay, I'm happy you're coming with Brad and Jamie." And then Wednesday, 9:37 p.m., you get Ariana saying, "You are dead to me." And then Friday, 8:56 p.m., Rachel writes, "Ariana, I don't know what to say right now. Besides, I really fucked up and I am so, so, so sorry." Three so's. And then Ariana responds, "Shut the fuck up, you fucking rat." R-A-T. So she includes that in the filing. Now, just a second ago, Ariana's lawyer, Rachel, work with me here a little bit. My mind is still not up and running. I don't know if it ever has been. Sorry, I'm on Twitter trying to find these screenshots. And this account, TV Deets, that I love, writes, "Luann de Lesseps wants to collaborate with Beyonce." No shit. We all want to collaborate with Beyonce. Are you kidding me? Okay, here it is. In a statement to People, Levis's lawyer Mark Garagos and Brian Friedman say, "The only thing more laughable than Ariana's motion is her fairy tale account of how she discovered the relationship from Tom's phone." I like these lawyers who are like, "I was in the stall at Tom's. I was in the ladies' restroom that night. Me and Brian. And there's no fucking way this happened." Quote, "Meanwhile, we look forward to cross-examining her on her declaration, as we have irrefutable evidence that the videos were distributed. Lastly, the forensic expert states that the video is not now on her phone, well after the events in question and with months of notice that her actions had put her in legal jeopardy." So he's saying that, maybe they're deleted now, but they weren't for a long time. And she's saying it was that night. Now, listen, if they have irrefutable evidence, let it come out. Then let it come out. But I will point, and Ariana's papers, actually, there's another declaration filed by her lawyers, which gives like all these like interviews, all these people talking about it, all of this stuff. It's good reading if you guys want to go find it. But it points out to the interview that we talked about on this a couple months ago when she was first on Shenanigans podcast after this happened, where she talks about like back then, a year ago, she offered her phone to Rachel's lawyers, who weren't Mark and Brian at the time, before she got Bethany Frankel's lawyers. So she had already offered her phone up, saying, "Listen, have your forensic experts take my phone, do whatever you want to it." They were deleted. So she is sticking by the story and always has been. Her story has not changed, unless somebody can point to me in a different direction where it has. Her stories remain the same. So I don't know what, I would love to know the irrefutable evidence. I don't know though, just following legal proceedings these last couple of years, because of being a fan of Bravo, you have to, and just like murder trials or even like Trump trials and all this stuff is a lot of people just fucking lie. And I don't even mean like the plaintiffs and the defendants, the lawyers. It just seems like a lot of grandstanding. And like Mark and Brian's statement, it just seems so fucking aggressive.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Did you recently say yes to marrying the love of your life? Do you have no idea where to begin your wedding planning journey? Has your future mother-in-law already made you cry? Have you gone through the whole wedding planning process and have some wisdom to share? The Betches Brides podcast is here to help you laugh or cry through it all. I'm Selena Kopic, and I'm the new host of Betches Brides. In this season, I'll take you along my wedding planning journey alongside my co-host and good bestie, Chelsea White. We'll swap wedding planning stories, answer your wedding planning questions, and be totally honest with you on if you're actually being a bridezilla or not. Betches Brides is here to help you not trip down the aisle. So be sure to tune into Betches Brides every Monday on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow at Betches Brides on Instagram for even more wedding inspiration.
And do you really want to, like, Rachel is a victim, but she's also a perpetrator as well. She's a victim of Tom Sandoval, but she's a perpetrator of pain on Ariana Maddox. And I did want to play this clip from Rachel's podcast this past week, which I'm not going to now. Like I said, I'll try to do it this weekend. But, you know, talking about, yeah, she was damaged in a lot of ways, Rachel. And I do understand the law to a varying degree, but if you are going to take this to trial and if you're going to get a jury trial, if you are the other woman, is it going to be in your best interest when we can even show you in your own podcast where you've completely given us different stories at times and given us different information and you're coming at new ways of thinking about it because you are becoming a new person in a lot of ways. But is it really the smartest thing to sue the person that you were cheating? I mean, like, unless you have irrefutable evidence that this was passed around. And I will say, like, I don't know. The company line, even like behind the scenes, what I had heard is that nobody that I know had seen it. Who knows though? Like, I could be being lied to. But I believe, like, listen, Ariana is a really solid person. Whether anybody wants to believe that or not, I don't care. I feel like she's shown it time and time again, and that even gets proven correct. You know, when people hate her for certain things, and she's usually end up proven correct. But there are times even perfect people fucking snap. And I know I would snap in a situation like this, but I don't believe she distributed it. I'm really curious about this irrefutable proof, which the burden will be on them to prove. And if they want to do that, go for it, I guess. I just feel like that, I don't know if it's just the smartest thing. And especially if you're going to try to be all of a sudden the full victim in this thing instead of one of the victims. I feel like it's rewriting history in certain ways that might not be the smartest way to go about your healing journey. And that's my issue sometimes with her podcast is it just feels like you're just one of them at the end of the day. You're really no better. In fact, Rachel, but also congratulations, Rachel. She has a new boyfriend. You can find all about him online. I'm sure I'll talk about him more later this week. Seems like a very interesting guy. She does like guys that really make bold statements about things. But he has a couple daughters, I believe. So she potentially could be a stepmom. But good for her. I want everybody to find love or happiness of some sort. And sometimes happiness just means being by yourself as well. I don't know if it's now in the time of her healing and recovery to even think about relationships. I was just talking about that the other day. I was like, I'm really curious when she starts dating again, what that'll look like, but it seems like she already has. So congratulations to Rachel. I just wonder how many people are in her ears. Like, sometimes you just have people in your ears encouraging you to do things in the end that aren't going to be the best for you. But once you're on that track, sometimes it's so hard to get off of it. And then sometimes your anger takes hold and you do things based on anger instead of actually just thinking things out. I've been the victim of that myself in my own personal life about wanting to react out of anger. And nothing usually good comes from that. And, you know, what your idea of fair is for yourself is sometimes not what is actually fair, if that makes sense. So we'll see. Also, we got news just while I was looking for those papers from TMZ that I think this is just great news, actually, that Vanderpump Rules briefly will pause production. They are not filming this summer. Like I said, there will be a season 12. I told you guys this a couple weeks ago, even though I told you this from the beginning. Everyone's like, oh, it's the last. It's not, never. It's the ratings are great. It's not going to be the last season. So what they usually do is they start filming usually in May or June. They're not going to do that this year. They're going to probably start filming in the fall. And I think that's great. Give these people a chance to live their fucking lives. I know Ariana has to host Love Island, which people are like, is that why they're all? Like, meh, no, she could do both. Like Tom Sandoval was doing special forces at the beginning of Vanderpump Rules. They could make it work, but I think it's great. You need to give these people a chance to breathe. In fact, I challenge production to take it a step further and put a kibosh on the cast podcast, or at least talking about Vanderpump Rules. Like, talk about other stuff, but just don't talk about the cast. You got to give these people a chance to forget. You got to give these people a chance to forget, which actually leads me to my other thing is that Kristen Doty talked about on her podcast, Balancing Act, with Luke, her boyfriend, is that she doesn't know if they're going to do the reunion for The Valley this season. And at first I was so bummed out. But then when I was thinking about it, I was like, this could be the smartest thing ever, because these people, like, they do have families and stuff like that. And it feels like the show, if you watch The Valley, is in like a tenuous spot where it's like this bubble could burst at any point and somebody could just kill somebody. You know, Jesse Lally literally like plowed through Brittany and Zach and all that, trying to get to Luke in last week's episode. So my thing is, if you get to the reunion, you have to deal with Brittany and Jax. You have to deal with Christian and Janet. You have to deal with all of these complicated relationships. You burn that bridge entirely at the reunion, and then you still got to pick up cameras for season 2 immediately. So do you do that and then risk season 2 starting in a completely different like way of just like everybody's just not talking to each other? Or do you forego the reunion this season, even though we'd like to see it, but like forego the reunion? And I say pick back up filming immediately. So instead of doing the reunion, say we're starting season 2 right now. And then what you do, start filming. And then like 3 weeks into filming, do the reunion, but make it a part of season 2, if that makes sense. So you get the lead. You get to see a reunion film like never before. You get to see people prepare. You get to see like Jesse talking about like, I want to see that bitch Michelle and her new boyfriend. You know, you get to see them all panicky and all that stuff. You get to see then like cut to the reunion, and then you get to see immediately behind the scenes afterwards and make it a part of the season. And that way you could have the best of both worlds. It just wouldn't air linear in any sense. You wouldn't have the reunion then season 2. You would start season 2. The reunion would come and make it a part of season 2, if that makes sense. Listen, this was part of my fever thought process the other night, but I was really proud of it. So tell me if I'm completely ridiculous or not, because when I was pretty feverish, that made a lot of... Oh, also, in things to watch, if you guys are not watching The Jinx season 2 on Max, previously HBO Max, previously HBO, it is well worth your time. Now, The Jinx, of course, follows the story of millionaire Robert Durst. True story. He's passed away now. He murdered four people in his day. You guys remember The Vow, obviously. Not The Vow. The Jinx, sorry. The Jinx. You remember The Jinx? And The Jinx, its first season, was known because he, on an open mic, admitted that, you know, he'd killed all of them. And then you know, it's been years since that show, but Jinx season two, I feel like it's not getting nearly enough press as it should because it's different, you know, but it follows what happened after the release of season one and how, you know, they put him in jail again. But all of these other relationships in Robert Durst's life, and it's only two episodes in, and it is fascinating to me. Once again, I was watching it through a fever haze, but I really thought episode two got me. It was just so rich and just like it's very interesting. The friends in his life that were kind of like, listen, he probably killed him, but like he's been a good friend to me, or they were trying to get money from him. And it was so interesting and just so many details. He has this one friend that was like a country porno singer that you meet in episode two, but it was just, I don't know. I thought it was just rich storytelling, and I can't wait to see where it goes. Even though I know he ends up dying, I still think it is potentially well worth your time. I've really enjoyed the first two episodes of the Jinx season two. The other thing I talked about this weeks ago, I think everybody's finally catching up to it. Bad Reindeer on Netflix. Richard Gadd's real life story about his stalker, but it's so much more than just a story about a stalker. And it also, you know, blurs the line and makes you feel great sympathy and empathy for the stalker herself. We'll do a deeper story on this next week because, you know, Martha, the stalker character, he, you know, said, hey, I've changed all the names, changed details to protect the identity. But they, of course, like I said, they went out and found the real Martha. And, you know, this person obviously isn't well. So it was like so ridiculous. And Richard Gadd, the creator, said, please don't go out and find these people. Please don't. And it's like they did. And now this person is like losing it in the media and like, you know, talking about now how she's the one actually being stalked by Richard. If you've seen Baby Reindeer, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you haven't, go see it. It's a really interesting way to talk about this situation that he was in, but to also think about the reality of these situations and how you get into these situations in the first place. And how, like I always say, life isn't black and white. There is so much gray area. Is that this, you know, life is unbelievable sometimes. And I think it's a very, very intense story that is told well. There are a couple of faults that I have with it, of course. And I would love to talk to the creator of it, Richard Gadd. I really think this is going to clean up at the Emmys this year. It's the number one thing on Netflix right now, 2 weeks running. And I think more and more people are going to start discovering it as well. So it's really huge, but it deals, you know, mental illness is a real thing. And you got to be really careful sometimes when you're dealing with real people and people that obviously this is a story about stalking. So why would you go and find this person? Why not leave it alone? It's like poking this bear that you're going to really trigger this person and they're already unwell. I'll talk more about that next week, but let's end because it is time to rest. But I wanted to end our friend Sophie Ross from Monday's episode. She was texting. Well, first off, she was texting me today. She saw Ariana and her boyfriend Daniel. She sent me pictures like she was like paparazzi. They were literally like hugging and kissing like on the street. She was like, look at it. I was like, oh my God, they're just like hugging and kissing. It was very cute, actually. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. And I was like, go say hi instead of just taking pictures of them. But it was very cute. But she tweeted something so funny today about Jax at the correspondence dinner, which we talked about on Monday. But they did this video, which I just thought it was so great. Everybody was like, why are they there? It's so true, though. Why were they there? But then this is Jax on the red carpet talking, you know, being interviewed by Extra. Extra, extra. This is them on the red carpet. This is him on the red carpet. This isn't even Britney. Listen to this. Here we go. One sec. Here we go.
How often do you watch C-SPAN? Never. I don't watch news. So did you set your DVR tonight to watch the show? I think our nanny did. I think I have my nanny doing it. Yeah. But normally, no. I got enough problems. I don't need to watch the news. I guess the question is, would you even know what channel C-SPAN?
Whoa. No, not a clue.
Couldn't tell you. No. There's so much pressure on Colin to perform tonight. Right. But there's also pressure for Friends and Five. This could be his last White House correspondent dinner. He expects some singing.
I
I expect some zingers, but I can't comment on anything politics-wise. I hope the best for everybody. I try to stay out of that. I really do.
Who's going to win the Stanley Cup?
That's what I want to hear. It's looking like Carolina.
I try to stay out of the politics stuff. First off, do you watch the news? No, no, I do not. Nope, nope. Don't know what C-SPAN is. Nope. Why are you here? Fucking thirsty. Thirsty as hell. Love. I'm just trying to keep the whole thing going. Like, it is hysterical. And then he finally asks about the Stanley Cup. And Jack's like, there you go. There you go, buddy. I love the thought about being asked about politics because you're at the fucking White House Correspondents' Dinner. He's like, no, I try to stay out of all that stuff. I don't go near it. Yeah, I'll be at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. But other than that, yeah, I'll be close to the president. Nah, I don't know. Who's Biden? Who is that? I've heard him. Yeah, okay. Performer? Yeah, okay, got it. I love Jack. God, Jax Taylor. My God. Just brilliant. Brilliant stuff. If you didn't hear that, that was Jax Taylor on the red carpet at the Correspondents' Dinner. Just so good. Man, they just don't make them like that anymore. Okay, you guys. This was a loose hour of me just rambling, but hopefully some of it made sense. Just wanted to give you a little something for your Wednesday. And then we should have new episodes for the rest of the week. And I've got some... just pray for my health for the next 2 days because I got something cool happening on Thursday and I really want to make sure it happens. So I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to watch Vanderpump and the Valley and then go to bed, hopefully, or just fall asleep during watching it. But regardless, you don't need to know that. I'll probably brush my teeth too and shower. Whatever. You guys have the best Wednesday ever. Oh, man, I can't wait to get back to Los Angeles and just get back to normal. And we'll talk very, very soon. Bye, guys.
So Bad It's Good is a Betches Media production. The show is hosted and produced by me, Ryan Bailey, with Meditza Lopez and Sandra Fryer. Additional support provided by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Steinberg. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Video promotion by Laura Valencia. Be sure to send us your emails at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com and follow the show at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey on Instagram. And for additional craziness, go to patreon.com/sobaditsgood. Stay bad, baddies.
Thank you to our sponsor, Hulu. Their new reality series, Vanderpump Villa, is an unfiltered portrait of what it is like to work in the glamorous French countryside while striving to impress Lisa Vanderpump. As guests arrive for their lavish vacation, the Vanderpump Villa staff are pushed to their limits, ready to cater to every whim, all the while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Betches.